take our Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to be looking at a topic that I think is fitting for a new year. And then next week, actually, we're going to be starting and preaching through the month of January and a lot of February on a similar theme. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to be looking at Harry Jackson is a reporter for the St. Louis Dispatch. And he had a report in the last couple weeks about Rene Bernard. Rene Bernard is 51 years old, lives nearby there in Missouri. And she said, he was coming up to the new year, so he thought he'd make this article. She said, it's easy to lose 250 pounds. I don't know if she was just carrying weights and just said it's easy so you can drop them. But then she said, okay, maybe not all that easy. But it worked for her. And so let me tell you her secret, thinking of the new year. She said, this is how I lost 250 pounds. I just didn't eat anything I liked. All right, so I just thought I'd throw that out. Anything you like, don't eat. It worked for her. You're gonna understand why this would work for her. She topped over 420 pounds about 3 years ago, and she said my problem was that I liked what I was eating, I'd eat all of it, and that means if she liked you, all right, you were gone. All right, she said if I liked the flavor, I just would keep eating and never stop. And so her idea was, anything that I like, I will not eat. Now, I'm glad that when it comes to spiritual things that you might say, you know what, we're coming into a new year. I'm going to be disciplined. So, you know what, whatever I like, I can't do. Well, God doesn't treat us that way because there's some people that would never get saved then because, you know what a horrible life as a Christian because anything you like, you can't do anymore. All right, well, that's not necessarily the world may look at it. But the things that they're claiming that bring so much happiness and joy in the world, though, is not necessarily bringing happiness and joy. We're going to look at this idea of a disciplined life this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. So Christ suffered for us. We know that he died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. So he suffered in this flesh. Notice what it says. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Arm yourself. And we're gonna have a parallel passage that I think will help us. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. We'll get to that verse. I love that verse. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God, how? In the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore, notice what it says again, sober. Tells us what type of mind to have. In verse 1, it ties it together. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we would ask that this morning, as we look at just a few points, I ask that you would take the Word of God. The Word of God, you said, is powerful. I pray that you would take the Word of God, empower it. You have told us, and we can claim that promise, that it does not return void. And I know many times in my life, it's been years down the road, that something from the Word of God has not returned void, and it's come and it's cleaned my heart out. I ask that you would take the Word of God. You would plant seeds for some, maybe some others. It would be the Word of God as a rain, as a refreshing rain, as springs upon dry ground. And Lord, you would soften up things so that as we start this new year, Lord, we would understand we need to have a spiritually disciplined life. As always, Lord, I ask for you to do that which I can, and that is speak to hearts. And we claim your power, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Disciplined people are those who express control in their lives. Athletes discipline themselves to be in top condition physically. You know, this past summer we went through the Olympics, and you read about some of the training that they go through. It's amazing, some of the training that they go through. And many of them, remember, there's only three people that receive a prize. I don't know if you knew that. It's gold, silver, and bronze. Some of you may not have recognized that. All right, but gold, silver, and bronze. There's only three people, and there's a lot of contestants in each category. And you'd say, you know what? What a waste! Is it really, though? I played sports almost all my life. I can remember in, I think it was third grade or fourth grade, being able to start into the basketball league and then into a soccer league that our school had. And then in my sixth grade year, I remember the junior high coach needed extra players, so I was able to play on the junior high squad, even as a sixth grader. All right, and I can remember all the way through, as I say, I don't run that much now. All right, in fact, I despise running. All right, I despise running. And that's probably, I think, from fourth grade all the way to my senior year in college, I can't tell you how many miles I ran. I'm saying hundreds, thousands of miles because of wicked coaches. All right, evil. All right, evil coaches. All right, but you would say, you did all of that, and what a waste. All right, just like we're saying about these Olympic athletes. Is it a waste to put discipline into your life? I say no. Even physically, I don't think it's a waste to put in some physical training, and you'd say, man, all that physical training, and what good is it? It's principles. Principles that I learned physically and now spiritually, because I had the advantage of having coaches. A lot of my high school years, my coaches, my one coach was also my youth pastor. All right, I'm still great friends with him today. He's a pastor now. And I'm a very good friend with him. And in fact, in August, we sat down for a couple of days and just went through a lot of things in ministry. I respect him a lot. I still respect him. Why? Because there was a lot of spiritual principles that were put into me in the physical world, but they transferred to the spiritual. Because discipline is very important. You know, many years ago, and I've used this product, many years ago, Coke Zero came out. Remember Coke Zero? And there was another one. Remember in the 80s they had the new Coke? That was sorry. All right, that was really bad. Okay? And then there was Pepsi One, and then there was Pepsi Done. All right, because they're like, it ain't working. All right, but Coke Zero came out, and it's still around. But Coke Zero is a product for those that want to lose weight while still enjoying the refreshing taste of a cold Coke. It sounds good, doesn't it? The zero means it offers all the great taste of a Coke without any of the calories. But in some ways, spiritually, that's what a lot of us want sitting here. Almost everybody sitting here is saved this morning. You've come in here. We're starting a new year. You're saved. You say that you love the Lord, but in some regards, you want a Coke Zero spirituality or a Coke Zero Christianity. What do I mean by that? You want what you want. You want all the joy, but you don't want the discipline. That's why we like the Coke Zero. All right, I want the taste, but I don't want to. All right, I don't want to have to go through the struggle. I still want what I want. And spiritually, this is what you and I have got to understand. If we are going to have a good 2017, you've got to have some spiritual discipline. Spiritual disciplines put into place because your flesh will never stop. It'll never stop until you die, and this flesh is in a grave, and then my resurrected body, praise the Lord, is now, I have a new body, and that's up in heaven. Well, amen for that. But right here on this earth, it's going to keep fighting me, and there's also the devil. I was telling my wife this morning, I was reading in the book of Job. So let's turn there real fast, and then we'll get into some points this morning. But turn to the book of Job. All right, if you're not sure where that's at, in the middle of your Bible is Psalms, and it's before the book of Psalms. So Job, notice in Job chapter 1, it tells us that there was a good man, and his name was Job. He was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And then, notice in verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Satan God is talking to Satan. Whence came thou? And notice what Satan says in verse 7. From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And notice in verse 8, what does God say? Hast thou considered who? Job. And he didn't. Well, actually, he did. He did. Did you notice in verse 8, okay, the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job? I was a little off there. And verse 9, did Satan consider Job? Verse 9 tells you, yeah, he did. He knew about him. Notice what he says. Does Job fear God for naught? What is you protect him. And so God said, put forth thine hand now, touch all that he hath in verse 11. And verse 13, all the way down. All right, it's all the way down through verse 19. I mean, disaster happens. He loses his... he loses everything except for his health. But look at chapter 2 and verse 1. This hit me this morning. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also. And it's like same scenario. Verse 2. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan had to go into and fro. Blah, blah. Look at verse 3. It's like repeat. All right, talking about records. All right, there's a scratch on the record. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none. Oh, no. All right. Satan answered, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for this, give for his life. Now notice, okay, Satan was allowed to take his wealth, all his materialistic things that he had, wipe it out, and take all his children. And he still blessed God. That's verse 20 in chapter 1. But for Satan, it wasn't enough. That's why the world never understands this. They think I'm crazy. I know that. There's some kids that have grown up here that think I'm crazy. They think I'm insane. Because, and I was glad for this, one recently said you haven't changed. Amen. That means I still believe God's word. They've changed. They want wickedness. They want vileness. They want to love the world and love God. And the Bible tells me that's impossible because you love one or the other. Now, I can't help it that they want both, But this is what the liberals, and this is in the immoral world that we want live in, the sodomites, the lesbians, the homosexual world, and the weak conservatives. And I'm not saying Christians, the weak conservatives say, just give them a little bit. Look it in Job. It's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. And that is my flesh also. Some of you say, man, you know what? You're always harping on putting yourself under and bringing yourselves under subjection. Why is that? Because this flesh is never satisfied. And if you're not careful, what you're going to say is, hey, as in the Psalms, it says, hey, we're in ease in Zion. And here comes the devil, and here comes your flesh, and it's taken over, and all of a sudden you're backsliding. We need to be a spiritual people that are putting disciplines in our life so that we can have a productive Christian walk. Let's also go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're in 1 Peter, and we're going to look at these two passages, 1 Peter 4 and also Luke chapter 9. Look at what Jesus says as far as discipline. Luke chapter 9. Discipline, a shorter word, is a disciple. All right, if I'm a disciple of the Lord, that means I have the disciplines in my life of Christianity. I am a disciple of Christ. That means I have those disciplines. Jesus said in verse 23, if any man will come after me, notice what he says, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. So here we have two passages, 1 Peter 4 and we have Luke chapter 9. Let's look at this idea of, can we have a spiritually disciplined life in 2017. First of all, look at the description in 1 Peter chapter 4, the description of a disciplined life. Look at verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the, notice what it says, the same mind. That's a description. Arm yourselves. Gear up. Gear up, arm yourselves. If I came up to you, and I know we have a bunch of, if you're not happy with this, I'm sorry. We can talk later and we can get you righteous. All right, but we do have some gun enthusiasts here. All right, and I understand that. All right, I understand these things. But if we were going to go to war, what would we tell you to do? Arm yourselves, right? And I know, even in America, we had the Mennonites, we had the Amish. In fact, that was the guy in World War II, I believe, Sergeant York, the great film and the books that came out about Alvin York, the soldier. And he came, he had that in his religion. He was like, you know what, we're pacifists. We believe the Bible says that we cannot fight. Okay? And I understand that. There's great debate theologically even still about that with the Mennonites, the Amish, and some of those. There may even be some pacifists as far as in the Baptist movement. But as far as, I'm not here to discuss that, but what I'm saying, if you can see in the scriptures, it's telling you, it's using a military term. And so we understand in the military when it says arm yourselves, what are you supposed to do? Gear up. All right? Lock and load. What is it telling you to do? Now, some of you, you get all bent out of shape. And this is what irritates me sometimes with people, with Baptists and with Christians and people that talk theology. They get all bent out of shape about some trivial things, about pettiness, but you will not arm yourself when it comes to spiritual warfare. You'll get all bent out of shape about things that don't matter in the Christian life. And man, you're up in arms. But when it comes to the devil, when it comes to sin, arm yourself. Lock and load. Don't let him walk into your individual heart. Don't let him walk into your house. Lock and load. The devil should know he comes through that door. He's gonna get a load, a buckshot. He better understand there's a war. And with some of us, when it comes to our spiritual life, you're a pansy. And some of you get upset that I use that term instead of fighting like you should. You get upset, and that's what I'm saying. There's pettiness today. You get upset about the word pansy instead of understanding that the devil sweeps into here. And he sweeps into your life. And like a roaring lion, he holds you down and he's roaring. You're like, I don't like that preacher. Well, I don't like the sin in your life. I don't like the sin in your heart. And I don't like that you think that it's something you should be comfortable with. Now, in 2017, you know what? We should come out like gangbusters against the devil. Saying, oh, there's a war. There's a war. The description of the disciplined life. Notice what it says in verse 1. Armed in the flesh, arm yourself, not armed in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Notice, it's a particular mind. Do you notice? It's the mind of Christ. That goes back to Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what is this? Have the same mind of Christ. So the description of a disciplined life is a particular mind, and that means that I am going to search out what God thinks of the devil. Well, I can tell you, it doesn't take a lot of searching to find out what our Savior thinks of the devil. It doesn't take a lot of thinking or searching to figure out what our Savior thinks about sin. And so it's a particular mind. Then secondly, notice it's a militant mind. It's a militant mindset. Did you notice that? It said arm yourself. We already went into that some. And again, I'm not here to discuss pacifism or going to war. That's for an individual debate. And I don't necessarily think as far as the church we have to discuss that. We don't really have to discuss that right here. There are some in theology that think that. But I'm talking about, this is talking about a spiritual war. And in spiritual warfare, what should we do? Some of you are more militant, as I said, about pettiness than sin coming into your house. This is what I ask you. You get all bent out of shape if I say something a little cross-haired. But what about in your house? What have you watched this week? How many cuss words did you listen and put up with? Then don't talk to me about some stupid vocabulary from the pulpit. You just let cussing go into your house and you're going to stand up and say you're righteous. That's what's amazing to me. It's amazing to me, the hypocrisy. What is the Bible saying? Have a militant idea. Have a mindset of Christ. But then notice what else in verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. It also gives us meaning. We have a mindset. We have a militancy. We have a meaning. What is it? I can serve God. I have His will now. I have a purpose in this life. It's not serving this flesh. It's serving an almighty God. So I have a meaning. But then also, then we see, and this goes back to Luke chapter 9. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, we see a description of a disciplined life. But then in Luke chapter 9, we see a direction. What is the direction that I should have for a disciplined life? Look at verse 9. It says, if any man will come after me, let him look at the first thing. What is the directions if you are going to have a disciplined life? What are the ingredients? How do I boil it down? The first thing that Jesus says is deny. You know, there are some things in your life as a Christian. Now, you may disagree with this, but I think I have a lot of Bible that can back this up. There are some times in my life that I just need to deny myself some things. Now, I'm not Catholic, all right? I'm not Jesuit, and I'm not going off into Monkville. All right, now some of you are like, oh yeah, there you go. But I'm just saying, in your life, every once in a while, that's the idea of a fast. You're giving up some things. And I think some of you don't have a clue. I was just praying about this over the weekend and saying, all right, Lord, in the next couple months, I want to set aside some times again. Why? Because fasting says, God, I'm giving things up and I'm focused on you. But you know what? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Then maybe that's why you don't have spiritual victory. And most of the time, when you follow the idea of fasting, this is what I believe happens over and over. Fasting, the results of fasting normally is years later. Just so you know. You don't fast and then 1 week later, all of a sudden, you have $1 million. You know what? Fasting, it's putting a discipline. It's a discipline put into your life to help you to push the world aside and focus on Jesus Christ. Fasting isn't a one-time event. That's why you see it taught in the Bible. It's a discipline. You notice denial. This is renouncing our selfish ways. Notice also, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. And the cross means death in some regards. There's all kinds of debate, but we know this, a cross does mean death. I mean, if you're going to take up a cross, there's something associated with death. Involved. Jesus didn't take up a cross. He didn't take his cross and drop it and then not die on it. No, he died on that cross. When somebody looked at a cross, there was despise there. There was an association if somebody was tied to a cross. And in the same way, I cannot, if I'm going to be spiritually disciplined, I cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ. There's some of you sitting here, and we're going to get into it in just a minute, but there's some of you sitting here that you will have a Facebook account, you will have a Twitter account, you'll have an Instagram account, and this is your rule. I will not put scripture on it. I think you're a coward. You say, you know what, in Facebook or this or that, it's neutral. Oh, really? My Christianity isn't neutral. And to me, if somebody does something wrong, this is what irritates me with some of you. You will like people that hate here, but you won't even put a thumbs up to stuff we do. Now tell me it doesn't say something. You're a coward. Because what are you saying? Then tell them they're wrong. Put a Bible verse out there. Share scripture with them. If you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, you will stand with him. You will stand with Christ. Spiritually disciplined people aren't ashamed to be marked as a Christian. Now, is it saying that if someone has gone wayward, I don't want them in church? Oh, no. Oh, I've talked to some folks sitting here, parents. Oh, you bet I want them in church. And I talk to some of the parents. You want me to know when they're coming to church because I may have a special point for them. You know why? Because you love them. You care for them. You want them coming back to God more than anything. But guess what you should do? I'm not going to sacrifice my Christianity and say, oh, there's things that we just don't talk about. Oh, really? Sounds like you're a hypocrite. Isn't that what the hypocrites do? Oh, there's certain things we just don't talk about. You mean like morality? You mean like sin? So I guess you think it's okay in your life. It amazes me. And you wonder why spiritually you live in failure. You live in failure because you're not disciplined. Discipline in the Christian life. Notice it's denial, it's death. Notice what, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then it's daily. So denial, death, daily. And then notice what else it says. There's the fourth thing. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. So what do we see as far as the ingredients? What does it mean to be disciplined? I'm denying. I have death involved. I have daily consecration. And I have devotion. Now ask yourself. And every one of us, we should be examining our hearts and our lives at this time of the year and saying, all right, God, last year's done. I can pack it up. Did you have these characteristics? Then start the year off with them. But then let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And in this one, I'll try to move quickly. I'll try to shut it down here in a few minutes. 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice what it tells us here in verse 1. What are the dimensions? So we talk about a description of a disciplined life. It's a mindset. Militancy, all right? It's a mind of Christ. There's meaning now in my life. There's a purpose. What is that? That's God's will. And then we talked about the directions. What are the ingredients that I can put in? Luke chapter 9, it gives me the ingredients, all right? And death, all right? The death, the denial, the daily coming to God, the daily consecration, the devotion to God. But then look at the dimensions that are involved in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 1, it tells us that if I'm going to be disciplined, I'm going to have a disciplined mind. Isn't that what it says? Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. If you're going to have success, your mind, you're going to work on. Man, God's been working on me. And so even as I come into the new year, I'm starting to work on Bible memory. You know why? This mind needs to be sharp in God's word. Now, I understand some of you, I can remember in the 45 club, some of you that were over 45, you came to me and you were like, oh, my word, scripture memory is hard. I understand that. But guess what I've got to do? This book is everything to me. It's got to be filled up. My mind has got to be filled up with God and God's word. How do I get it in there? I got to be thinking about it, meditating on it. My mind has to be disciplined. Then notice what else it says. Look at verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time. Uh-oh. You know what? Disciplined mind, disciplined time. Did you notice there was a change in his patterns, in his habits, in his time, and how he used his time? Why? Because in his old life, he lived a certain way, and now he knows that's wasted. I only have so much time, and I'm going to discipline that. So I study it. I think about it. I get up. I go to bed. I don't stay up all night. What are we doing? We're disciplining our time. Discipline time. Notice in verse 3, this is the one. And I said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have walked the will of the Gentiles. Notice what it says. We walked in lasciviousness. We walked in lust. Walked in excess of wine. Walked in revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. Look at verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them. I have disciplined mind, disciplined time. I have disciplined friendships. That's where some of you are hurting your spiritual walk. Why? Because there's people that you consider close friends and they hate God. What does the Bible say? They think it's strange that ye run not with them. Now don't get mad at the messenger. I'm just the mailman. I'm a little excited, mailman, today, but guess what? Don't get mad at the mailman when he delivers God's word into your gut. Because guess what? God says, act different. Be a man. Don't be a coward. And if somebody's acting wrong, I'm going to be gracious. But hey, you know what? God saved me. He gave me a great year. I've been reading this in the Bible. God gave this to me this morning. This is what I ask you. Next time you get together with that heathen that you know is wrong, bring the Bible. Pretty soon, they don't want to be around you. You don't have to be all stupid and a jerk about it. You just say, man, hey, I'm going to church again today. Why don't you come with me? Because, and then they're going to think it's strange that, guess what? You don't run with them anymore. I don't understand it. I normally don't have to break friendships with people that are ungodly. It happens pretty fast. You know why? I don't have to be stupid about it, but hey, when maybe on your Facebook account, my wife and I were talking about there's a pastor friend that she, not pastor friend, pastor's wife's, that sounded a little weird. All right, but there's a pastor's wife, and she's friends with her, and she said, you know what? If someone asks me to speak, and she speaks sometimes to teen girls and different things like that, she tries to get every one of their emails and tries to get them to like her on Facebook, and every day or every other day, she tries to send something to them from God's Word. I was like, I like that. I haven't thought about that, and so we're going to work on it this year. And on our church Facebook account, I'm going to have Bible on there. Maybe post it once a week. We're going to have a Bible thought. Why? Because you know what? I want it to be no doubt. I'm a Christian. Our church stands for God. We love God. Now, that alone condemns people. That condemns. You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to be this big righteous jerk. But guess what the Bible says in verse 4? It says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. Uh-oh, guess what happens? Speaking evil of you. I'm glad that there's guys that are living like the devil that don't like me. It doesn't bother me. What would bother me? As if God and His Holy Spirit hit me and smashed me and said, you hypocrite and Pharisee. Oh, no, I'm not saying that you become a Pharisee or a hypocrite, because when you're walking with God, we've taught on this over and over, God shows you what you are. I'm not saying I'm anything special, and I think the majority sitting here, we're not saying we're anything special, but guess what? I love Christ. And it should be evident in your life. It should be evident in your technology. What, I have a secret life? No. My secret life and my public life, they need to be similar, don't they? Otherwise, what are you? A hypocrite. It's these folks, that's what I've been saying for the liberals, President Obama, for a long time. What has he been saying? He's been saying, you know what? Those church people, you need to keep it in church. I'm sorry, President Obama, but I take it you didn't grow up like I did. But according to the Word of God, you say you know it. But that's called a hypocrite and a Pharisee. That's what it's called. If your life is different at church than it is during the week, you're a hypocrite. And get some discipline in your life. Because the Bible says, have a disciplined mind, have disciplined time, have disciplined friendships. And notice in verse 7, and we'll close with this, but the end of all this is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be disciplined in your prayer life. This whole passage, I would challenge you, read it, because there's a whole bunch of disciplines that the Bible tells us to put in. I need to be disciplined in prayer. I need to have some organization to it. Some of you, you put more time and thought in your work life than you do in your spiritual life, and that's why your joy is at work. And your spiritual life rots. Some of you, you put more joy and maybe some hobby than you do in your marriage or in your family, and you wonder why you never want to come home to your wife or to your husband. You never want to be with your children. You know why? Because you're not being disciplined with it. When you're disciplined with it, all right, yeah, there's some tough times. The Bible tells us this. There is going to be some tough times. But what is the Bible telling us? The Bible is telling us I need to have some discipline. The late preacher George W. Truett, I'll close with this. George W. Truett said this. He said the devil, and this was a fictitious illustration. He said the devil and his cohorts, his demons, got together and they were planning to get people to reject the gospel. And so, as he tells the story, the devil and his cohorts, they were together, they were having a meeting, and one of them stepped up and said, wait a minute, you know what? We'll tell them there is no God. We can make that public. They were talking about it. Silence prevailed once the person came up with that idea. And they said, oh, come on. Every one of us knows that there's a God. We can't convince people of that. So then another one came up. And he said, wait a minute. Let's tell them there's no hell, no future punishment. And they got together, were thinking, and they said, nah, come on. Anybody that has a conscience, understand that there's punishment for sin. Anybody that has a conscience. There was a lot of silence. The devil was just about ready to dismiss the meeting. And one of them from the back said, wait a minute. Tell them there is a God. Tell them there is a hell. Tell them that the Bible is the Word of God. But tell them there's plenty of time to deal with it. The motion was approved unanimously. And even to this day, you know what? Some even sitting here, you're saved, but you've bought in to the devil's ploy. Because you say, it's a new year. I understand it. And I know there's some things that are wrong. But next year. And so another year goes by. And spiritually, you live in defeat. Why? Because you will not put in the discipline that it takes to have a spiritual life. And you notice that it says you're walking in the flesh, and it tells you how to have that spiritual discipline. Walk in the Spirit daily. Get with God. Put it down. And don't just make it 1 week. Don't just make it 2 weeks. Check up on yourself. Have the discipline to have a great 2017. How can you have that? A disciplined walk with the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Thank you for your patience and your attentiveness. And I understand. Maybe you would say, you know what? In certain areas, I'm sorry. My words can offend you. I understand that my words can offend you. But my prayer is that the Word of God will sink home. Because some of you, it is true, some of you are getting bent out of shape about pettiness. And you're acting like a hypocrite. You're getting bent out of shape about pettiness. And in the disciplines of life that count, you're heading down a wrong hole. You're heading down a wrong way. You're heading down a wrong path. And it's because you're getting petty about something that isn't vital in the Christian walk. In the disciplines of the Christian walk, you need to make sure to have the priorities God has. And what does he say? Hey, arm yourselves. You better gear up for war, because that's what you're in. You're in a fight. Then let's, as a church, let's, as Christians, fight the good fight of faith. That's why Paul said, did you notice it's fight? He said the word fight, and he said it's a good fight. And he said it's by faith. It's not a fight, the good fight of flesh. It's a faith. It's that spiritual warfare. Have you given up already? And it's January 1? Then determine to put some things in place and walk a spiritually disciplined life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this time that we can gather this morning. Deal with our hearts. Give us a discipline 2017 for the glory of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing, heads bowed, eyes closed. God may have dealt with your heart. If he dealt with your heart this morning, the altar is open for you to use as a piano and organ player.